John 18, 1 through 11. After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Who are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these people go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?" John 18, 12 through 27. Jesus before the high priest. So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Peter denies Jesus. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the woman who guarded the gate and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. The high priest questions Jesus. Then the high priest questions Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Peter denies Jesus again. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, the cock crowed twice.
He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account.
John 28 through 40, Jesus before Pilate. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you to ask this about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is the truth?" Jesus sentenced to death. After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him. But you have a custom that I release someone from you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a rebel.
Oh,
Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed.
John 19:1-7. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him to you, out to you, to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to him, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." Then the Jews answered, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has claimed to be the Son of God."
Thank you.
He is brought as a lamb to slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. For our sins he was punished. He was numbered with the sinners, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. For our sins he was punished.
John 19, verses 8 through 16. Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate then therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you or power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given from you above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against Caesar." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified.
Christ became obedient for us unto death, accepting death on a cross. It was our infirmities he bore. It was our suffering he endured. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung for the salvation of the whole world. Oh, come, let us worship him.
John 19, 16 through 22. They handed him over to them to be crucified, the crucifixion of Jesus. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but this man said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written."
By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of people.
John 19, 23 through 30. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to this disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Word.
It's good for us to know Jesus' passion. Passion is an interesting word for his suffering, isn't it? We think of passion as perhaps overwrought romantic love. We should think passion in both ways. Passion is Jesus' intense suffering. Passion is the love that Jesus has for us, the love that God has for us. In the Gospel of John, we have Jesus who is in control. Jesus knows that this is the plan. Jesus knows, as it says, all things are given into his hands. He knows where he is going. He is confident. But nevertheless, it is passion. Passion for us. Passionate love that God has for us. We read from Isaiah tonight, these little verse excerpts from the Suffering Servant Song. The Suffering Servant Song in Isaiah 53 is amazingly like Jesus' suffering on the cross. It's as if Isaiah foretold this suffering servant, the one who would suffer for the iniquities of the people. This was God's plan, God's passionate plan for us, God's love. Remember the whole sweep of the Bible? The whole sweep, starting at the beginning, the second creation story, the man and the woman in the garden who try to be like God. They are not obedient, and they fall from grace. The story of the flood, Noah, there is wickedness abounds, and God decides to destroy the whole earth except for eight people, for Noah, his sons, and their wives, and Noah's wife. After the flood, it says that God turns. The actual word is God repents. It's the same word. God repents of what he has done and realizes this is not going to work. This does not work to destroy the earth. I'm going to have to keep destroying the earth. So God starts with Abraham and says, through this one person, the faith of this one person, I will build a people, and this people will be a light to the nations. The people are in captivity. The people are slaves in Egypt. God sends Moses to save them. And through Moses, God makes a promise to this people. You will be my people. God didn't say, if you obey the Ten Commandments, if you obey the law, I will make you my people. He says, you are my people. You are my people. I have chosen you. Now, this is my law. This is your part. And you know how that works. The Israelites are always complaining, worshiping other gods. Finally, they get into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And the people want kings. Other nations have kings. We want kings too. Samuel says, no, you don't want kings. But God gives them kings. And there's a righteous king, David. And then from then on, it deteriorates. Kings who do not shepherd their people. The people worship other gods. And finally, God lets them be taken into captivity. It's in captivity. The remaining kingdom, the last kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, it's in captivity to Babylon that this suffering servant song is written. And there's other promises. God says, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something new. Jeremiah says there will come a day when the law will be in their hearts. So God decides, I must make myself present as a human. As a human being, I will make myself present. He takes on our flesh in Jesus Christ. And yet, we did not recognize him. But it was all God's plan. Especially in the Gospel of John, thank God, Jesus is in control. Jesus knows that he must go to the cross and rise on the third day. So for us to have the wonderful joy of Easter, we must have the darkness of Good Friday. We must think about our Lord suffering on the cross for us, that passionate love. So tonight I invite you into that contemplation. In order for there to be the Easter joy, the Easter light, there must be this darkness. Jesus goes all the way for us. He shows his passionate love for us.